Good morning. I'm Gary Gramling, and I'm calling to order the regularly scheduled board meeting for the month of May. It is May 9th, 2014, and the clock on the wall says it's approximately 9:03. This is the time when I'm supposed to do some housekeeping reading, and I always forget to do that. So, just for general information, those who have heard it before can take a little nap while I go through the next couple of minutes, but members of the public who wish to address the Housing Commission must fill out a speaker request form. Speakers normally are limited to 3 minutes each. Collective testimony by those who support or oppose an item shall be limited to no more than 15 minutes total per side. The public may ask for an item to be called from the consent agenda once the consent agenda is proposed, and they would make that request by submitting a speaker request form. Comments on non-agenda items are heard at the beginning of each meeting. Please fill out a white-colored speaker request form before now, and or as quickly as possible, and run over and give it to Angie here in the corner. To speak on a matter listed on the agenda, please complete a speaker request form and submit it to Angie in the corner over here before the item is called. If you intend to speak in opposition to the item, please fill out a pink-colored form. If you plan to speak in support, please fill out a gold-colored form. So now we've taken care of the... You know, the city council has it easy. The city clerk reads that. And I don't know why the city clerk refuses to come over here and read it at the start of our meetings, but it just isn't happening. At this time, I have no speaker request forms in terms of public comments, so I'll presume that nobody submitted any. At this time, we set aside for the commissioner's comments. Commissioners, do any of you have anything in particular you wanted to bring up or say for the benefit of the organization? Seeing no indication of such, I will. And that is that beginning last weekend and continuing through Tuesday for some of us and continuing through Wednesday for two of us on this board, we were in attendance at the Pacific Southwest Regional Conference of the National Association of Housing Redevelopment Officers. See if you can say that fast five times. And this was up in Burlingame, which is a suburb of San Francisco. During that time frame, we had an opportunity to attend and participate in several sessions, educational sessions, some of which I found interesting and enlightening enough that we've already come back and had one preliminary discussion with Mr. Gentry about possibly incorporating some of the ideas that we picked up there. The two that stayed a little bit longer are our two newest members on the commission board, Commissioners Davis and Hubbard. Yes, I'm sitting there going, it's Keeley, but I'm not supposed to say that. And what they did is they attended the additional training, which is the commissioner certification training, so that they could get up to speed a little quicker on what it is that commissioners do, not only locally but nationally on that. And they've already told me that they thought it was time extremely well spent on their part for doing that. So thank you for attending, because our commission will benefit from your participation in that. Thank you. Also, just putting you on notice, but the San Diego Association of Realtors recently announced that May is Senior Awareness Month, so I want you all to be aware of and be more considerate of the seniors in your presence, okay? As you see them, don't try to run any over on the sidewalks, anything of that nature. Some of our drivers coming out of this building are a little bit, they're lacking courtesy for the pedestrians who are on the sidewalks. I'd like to mention one other thing, and that is we have been honored by, of all things, or all organizations, all places, by the City of New York. And the City of New York operates probably the largest housing agency, at least in the country, possibly in the world, with something in the neighborhood of 200,000, I believe, 200,000 residences and clients that they oversee and work with. And I mean, that's boggling. You know, that's the entire city of Escondido, and probably throw in San Marcos on that. So it's huge. And you would think that they would be the experts on everything, but they have decided that they would like some outside input. And so they've invited a very select few industry members to come back and meet with them and give them the benefit of their experience and consultation and possibly helping them to solve some of their problems in New York City. And sitting next to me, our CEO and president, is one of those few members of the industry that they have asked to come back and maybe help shed some light on how they might be able to do things better. So that's obviously a great honor to Mr. Gentry. It's also an honor to this board that we would have anyone associated with us that would be so highly regarded on that. So congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Something to be very proud of. Okay, at that point, I get to call for any comments by the Chief Executive Officer.
Well, sir, with your comments, I've got to respond. Thank you. I appreciate that. One of the things I've indicated to our two new board members is that you never stop learning in this business. And I think there are very few original ideas we all either learn or steal from each other. And the San Diego Housing Commission is the same. We've developed a lot of good ideas from other people over the years, and we've been able to transmit a few. And the fact that New York City, their housing authorities, asked for about a half dozen folks to come in and just to sit down and chat with the new leadership under the new mayor, de Blasio, in New York City, I think is a very wise thing to do. So, but thank you, sir. I'm very pleased to be a part of it. In addition to that, I've got about half a dozen very brief items, if I could, mostly relating to homelessness and some positive news. On April the 14th, Connections Housing celebrated its first full year of operation. You know, that property was dedicated in March of 13, and it celebrated its 1 year approximate of operation in April. And I was honored to join with Council President Gloria and PATH San Diego as they marked this 1 year of operation. And I'd like to just give a few numbers for the board and for the record. The Housing Commission's involvement is that we invested about $2 million in city housing trust fund monies into this property. We also have project-based 89 vouchers, housing choice vouchers, in this property, which represents a value of about $7,000 to $8,000 per year per voucher, as I recall, Jeff, and then ballpark. So that's pretty good operating support that goes on every year. In addition, we've also provided another 50 vouchers to help formerly homeless individuals who've transitioned out of Connections and into the community. Connections Housing has proved itself to be a successful use of the Housing First model. Over the first year, nearly 400 formerly homeless individuals have been accepted into interim housing and have moved into permanent, supportive, or longer-term housing, which is the goal of Housing First. Of these folks, there is a 98% retention rate so far for formerly homeless persons living in the supportive housing units. In addition, the PATH Depot Multi-Service Center has provided a number of employment-related appointments and has helped 123 formerly homeless veterans find jobs. And the Family Health Center located at this facility, the Community Health Clinic, has provided nearly 12,000 medical and mental health visits, appointments to people who are homeless. There are some news releases and photos attached to your board copies, but I want it noted that this Housing First model, which was the subject of much debate here 4 years ago and much scrutiny over the last year or so, is working. Secondly, on May the 1st, was honored to join again with City Council President Gloria and also Bob McElroy, who is the CEO of the Alpha Project, for a groundbreaking of a property called Alpha Square in the East Village. This will be 201 affordable single-room occupancy units located at Market Street and 14th as part of a $47.6 million mixed-use development in East Village. The Housing Commission is awarding 76 federal housing choice vouchers, which will support formerly homeless individuals, and this property will remain affordable for 55 years. The co-developer with Alpha is the Chelsea Investment Corporation, private sector affordable housing developer, and this property will be a transit-oriented development only two blocks from the trolley stop, and it will replace the Hotel Metro also in East Village. Also related to homelessness, the Regional Continuum of Care Council, which is a local nonprofit oversight group that brings in more than $15 million annually to the city and county of San Diego from the federal government as a regional conduit for homelessness programs, was awarded a grant through HUD to fund a project director, its first full-time staff position. That person is Jennifer Wishon. Started in this position last month. Formerly, she was employed with PATH at Connections Housing, and her office is located here at the Housing Commission. And the Housing Commission is providing more and more involvement and input to the continuum of care. Ms. Wishon was formerly the Director of Community Engagement for PATH in Southern California, and she was responsible for the startup management of Connections Housing here. And of this $15 million that comes into the city and county, in 2013, the Housing Commission administered nearly $2.4 million of that amount. Also related to homelessness, as the board may remember, the Housing Commission staff is going through a planning exercise now, which we call Homelessness 2.0. As you know, prior to about 4 years ago, the Housing Commission's involvement was very slim in this area. What we have decided to do, and we've more and more gotten ourselves involved in this area of endeavor, and what we're looking to do now is to figure out what the next things are that we can do in a systematic, orderly way that would fit within our housing mission. We expect to have a presentation on this effort to this board at the August 1st regular board meeting. And finally, is Nicole in the room? Stand up a minute, please. I want to recognize a stellar performance at the City Council budget hearing yesterday. I'm sorry, the Housing Authority budget hearing yesterday. As you all recall, you all passed the 2015 budget for the Housing Commission last month. In March. That went to the Housing Authority, sent to the City Council. We had a budget hearing yesterday afternoon. It was entirely positive. In fact, it was glowing. I would encourage you to pull it up on the website and take a look at it. Nothing but positive comments. Nicole, you and your folks did a stellar job. Your performance was outstanding. And to the other rest of the leadership here, you know, Jeff, Debbie, Maria, and all the folks involved in the budget process this year, I think for the first time we did what our vice chair would probably call a proper budget process. Excellent work, and thank you all. And thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. There was one housekeeping matter that I forgot to mention, and that is that we do have a quorum. The only member of our board that's not present is Commissioner Waring, and he definitely has got a great excuse today for not being here. He's out of town, getting ready tomorrow to perform probably the most important duty that a father of a daughter can ever do, and that's to see to it that her wedding goes off without a hitch, and that he gives the proper father of the bride's speech. So we're hoping that he has nothing but a great weekend. And I look forward to seeing him next month. Okay, at this time, I'd like to propose a consent agenda. And I'm proposing that items 100, 103, and 106 with a modification be moved to the consent agenda. The modification for 106, I'm going to let council describe that.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. The commission learned recently, and it was confirmed last evening, that on item 106, BVSD will not be able to accept the additional $40,000 of compensation and expend it within the period of time necessary. And therefore, we ask that a recommendation 2 under item 106 be tabled or withdrawn. And then if you make a motion on 106, that you move approval of item 1 only. I might say that $40,000 is within the chief executive's authority to award, and to the extent that can be awarded to another entity, that would probably be what would be done. In any event, that the request is item 2 of 106 be withdrawn and tabled, and that you move forward on item 1 only.
As for the withdrawing of item 2 and number 106, I think that might require an action on our part. So is there a motion to strike item 2 of 106?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Commissioner Hutchison, seconded by Commissioner Spoon, that item 2 of 106 be stricken. So with that action behind us, then I do propose the consent agenda be items 100, 103, and modified 106.
Mr. Chairman, question if I could, please.
Yes.
In the correspondence that you had sent to us previously, I was under the impression that we would be moving 100, 101, and 106. That's changed?
I'll yield to the board. I looked at the dollar numbers in that and thought, well, maybe we ought to have a full-fledged presentation, but if...
That's fine. I just cut off.
Thank you. Okay. So, do we have a motion for the consent agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second? Okay. It's been moved by Commissioner Hutchison, seconded by Commissioner Moraga. Any additional discussion? I'll call the question. All in favor of the consent agenda, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The consent agenda has been approved unanimously. Now, the minutes for the regular meeting of April 11th, 2014 have been submitted to you. Is there any corrections, amendments, modifications? I think I've just used three different words to say the same thing. Commissioner Moraga has moved approval of the minutes as submitted. Please, is there a second? Commissioner Hubbard has seconded that. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The minutes of April 11, 2014 have been approved unanimously. So, now that moves us to item 101.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Jeff Davis, Chief Operating Officer, and with me is Deborah Fischel-Falk, Vice President of Administrative Services. Item 101 is the award of a two-year contract with 3 one-year renewal options for legal services to Christensen and Spath LLP. As you are aware, the Commission has an ongoing requirement for General Counsel legal services. Our existing legal service contract is scheduled to expire June 30th of this year. In anticipation of this, and in accordance with our Statement of Procurement Policy, staff initiated a formal solicitation process requesting proposals for the services, and we started that in early February. Proposals were received, evaluated, ranked, and scored by a proposal evaluation committee on which I served. Five panelists altogether, representing five different agency departments, unanimously ranked Christensen and Spath LLP as the most experienced, qualified, and cost-effective respondent. Deborah will now provide you with additional details regarding the process and our requested actions, after which we will be available to answer any questions you may have.
Good morning, Chair Gremling and Commissioners and Mr. Gentry. I'm Deborah Fischel-Falk, and with me as backup with additional details and to answer the difficult questions are our Procurement Director, Marcel Gresham, and Senior Procurement Analyst, Ralph Tharp. Item 101, as Jeff indicated, is requesting that you approve and recommend the Housing Authority approve an award of a two-year contract with 3 one-year renewal options to Christensen and Spath LLP for legal services beginning July 1st of this year for a total cost of not to exceed $5 million over a five-year term. The annual base contract amount is a not to exceed $1 million. This dollar amount was selected based on historical use and the increase in procurement activity over the past 5 years, and a review of the tactics and action items included in our strategic plan that will most likely require legal advice and assistance. The specific scopes of services are included in Attachment 1, the draft final agreement, on pages 15 through 18. An abbreviated version of the scope of services is included on page 2, paragraph 4 of our report as well. As Jeff indicated, in early February, a request for proposal for legal services was issued. Advertisements were appropriately placed in several newspapers and posted on Envia DemandStar, our web-based bid proposal notification system, for a nationwide exposure. Two proposals were received, one from Christensen and Spath LLP, and another from Stutz, Artiano, Shinoff, and Holtz APC. A proposal evaluation committee comprised of Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer Jeff Davis, Senior Vice President Debbie Ruane, and Vice Presidents Maria Velasquez and Michael McKenna independently evaluated, scored, and ranked the proposals based on specific criteria, including company and staff qualifications and experience, technical competencies, and best value. As Jeff mentioned, Christensen and Spath's billing rates are well below market rate, and they extend a 2% discount as a professional courtesy to the Commission. We are recommending you approve and recommend the Housing Authority approve the award of a two-year contract with 3 one-year renewals to Christensen and Spath LLP at an annual cost not to exceed $1 million, and we ask that you authorize and recommend the Housing Authority authorize the President and CEO or designee to increase the contract base amount by up to an additional $200,000 per year, as previously approved by the Board and Housing Authority via Resolution HA-1513, included as Attachment 2 of the report, and to execute the contract, additional documents as required, and take other necessary and appropriate actions to implement the approvals. Thank you for your attention, and we are happy to answer any questions you may have.
Commissioner Tussle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Was the Board unanimous in their position after your evaluation? Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Okay. Second. It's been moved approval of the proposal as submitted by staff by Commissioner Tussin, seconded by Commissioner Spoon. Is there any discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor of the proposal as submitted, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. The motion is carried unanimously. Council, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Next item is item 102, proposed fiscal year 2014 budget revision for home investment partnerships. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Ann Kern, Senior Director of Rental Housing Finance and Program Development With me is Vicki Montz, our loan services manager, and the person who also heads up our first-time homebuyer programs. Vicki will describe the proposed budget revision item 102.
Good morning. We are requesting your recommended approval to the Housing Authority to revise our fiscal year 2014 budget to add $1 million in home investment partnership funds to home ownership. $910,000 of the funds will be used for loans and grants under the first-time homebuyer program and $90,000 for administration. Buyers' participation in the first-time homebuyer program remains extremely strong. Since the beginning of this fiscal year, July 1, 2013, the Housing Commission has helped a total of 108 eligible homebuyers to purchase their first home. We have funded 54 loans and 45 grants using just the home funds and have spent or committed all but $282,606 of the fiscal year 14 home budget. The remaining balance of home funds will provide home buyer assistance to approximately five additional buyers, and the funds are expected to be fully expended by the end of May. With the addition of the requested $910 million in home funds, approximately 16 additional low-income buyers will be assisted to purchase their first home. And that concludes my presentation.
Did you say 910 million, or was that 910,000?
Thousand.
Thank you.
I was hoping for more.
Okay. Any other questions there? Yeah, this is one of the best uses of our funds that I can imagine that we could have, is helping families get into homes in a manner that they can afford to actually keep the home, and I think that helps to provide stability to our city and to our society. So, thank you very much. Commissioner Spoon?
So all of these funds will be expended by the end of the fiscal year? There won't be any carryovers?
If we do not commit this additional money, and remaining funds will go back into fund balance.
Move approval.
Commissioner Tussin has moved approval of the motion. Commissioner Davis has seconded the motion. Any additional discussion? Okay, I'll call the question. All in favor of the proposal as submitted by staff, indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item 104. Hmm? 103 we put on consent. Yeah. Thank you.
Good morning again. Ann Kern, Senior Director, Rental Housing Finance and Programs. With me is Tina Kessler, Program Analyst. And item 104 is a unique activity, basically a one-time occurrence. We've worked on this for many years, and the item before you today is the last, what we hope is the last piece to spend down the remaining funds on this activity. And again, as Mr. Gentry spoke earlier, it's basically an activity that has assisted the homeless in the city of San Diego. With that, Tina will describe the activity.
Good morning, Commissioners, Chair Gramling, Mr. Gentry, Mr. Christensen. Agenda item 104 before you today is requesting approval of a grant allocation in the amount of $161,887 to rehabilitate San Diego Youth Services Take Wing Housing Program and $50,000 to rehabilitate Catholic Charities House of Rachel Independent Living Program. In July 1996, the City Council approved the homeless assistance element of the Naval Training Center Reuse Plan that allowed the provision of off-site assistance to the homeless. A plan was developed to support 150 transitional housing units at $50,000 per unit, primarily in Council District 2. The City of San Diego and the Naval Training Center Homeless Subcommittee execute an agreement for the city to secure, appropriate, and disperse up to $7.5 million on certain transitional housing projects proposed by the members of the Naval Training Center Homeless Subcommittee. The Housing Commission agreed to provide $1 million of the total $7.5 million of funding. $787,113 has already been expended, leaving a balance of $211,000 to commit to eligible projects. Since the original agreement in 1996, City Council has approved amendments to the agreement in July 2005, February 2007, and a third amendment in April 2009. The third amendment allowed for the rehabilitation of existing facilities. Staff recommends approval of a $161,887 grant to San Diego Youth Services to cover a portion of the cost to install a photovoltaic system at their Take Wing housing property located in Point Loma. This property is a mixed-use project consisting of 33 residential units to serve homeless youth and San Diego Youth Services main offices. Additional project information is available in attachment 2 of your report. Staff also recommends a $50,000 grant to Catholic Charities to fund electrical repairs and potential renovations to 2 bathrooms at the House of Rachel Independent Living Program. This is 9 studio units above the Rachel's Women's Center in downtown. This program primarily serves homeless women completing recovery programs and who are newly employed. Approval of this action will expend the remaining balance of the San Diego Housing Commission's $1 million committed as part of the San Diego Naval Training Center's agreement. The requested actions are as follows. Approve a revocable grant in the amount of $161,887 to San Diego Youth Services to install a photovoltaic system at its Take Wing Housing Program, and approve a revocable grant in the amount of $50,000 to Catholic Charities to upgrade electrical systems at the House of Rachel Independent Living Program, and authorize the President and Chief Executive Officer to execute all necessary documents in a form acceptable to General Counsel. That concludes our presentation. Libby Day with the City of San Diego is available to help answer any questions.
Commissioner Tessa?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've committed $1 million to this project, and this came from the NTC Homeless Committee that made these recommendations to us. Does it matter that the Rachel Center is not at the NTC facility?
No, it doesn't. The projects that come forward have to do with the service providers, so the member of the committee is Catholic Charities, so they can choose to use it at any of their transitional housing.
Thank you.
Commissioner Spoon?
And how are these 2 projects selected? Were there others that were rejected?
The projects are selected by proposals from the current subcommittee members, and they have to agree to the project. So the service providers that are still a part of the subcommittee bring their proposals forward, and that's the kind of venue to get them approved.
I'm going to ask Libby Day to provide just a summary of that. She's worked on this for many years and has attended those subcommittee meetings.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Libby Day. I'm with the City of San Diego's Economic Development Division. The way that the NTC homeless agreement was created was that members of this reuse subcommittee who participated in creating this agreement would benefit from the $7.5 million total agreed price to be paid to them. The subcommittee itself would bring forward projects, and they would agree among themselves what would be funded with that money. The money would go toward, and additionally would go toward the rehabilitation of facilities after the 150 beds were already produced for the transitional facilities. And I think that's about it right now.
Were there other projects that were proposed that were not selected?
No, at this time, each of these service providers had certain amounts that were allocated to them as each of the committee members decided, and these were the projects that were brought forward by Catholic Charities and by the San Diego Youth Services.
Commissioner Tessa?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Libby, we've made some investments at both the Wing Street and the Rachel Center in downtown before, haven't we?
I believe you have.
And what was the what were those expenditures for? The Wing Street property, we've put in just under $500,000 already, according to the staff report.
The Wing Street property, I believe that was for the original purchase of the property. Catholic Charities, I believe, also it was for the purchase of that facility as well.
That was only $75,000.
They received additional funds from the city.
Okay.
So,
Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Before you do, there's a couple more questions. And actually, Commissioner Tussin kind of hinted at this, and that was a kind of a jurisdictional question, because this subcommittee is called, or this committee is called, the NTC, or Naval Training Center Committee, and yet both of these projects, or both of these requests, are for off-site improvements. And Tina, when you were asked about that, you said, "Well, it's Catholic Charities, but is how does Catholic Charities get in under the jurisdiction of the NTC committee?"
They bounced it back to me. So the way this was established was during the reuse process in the mid 90s. It was determined that the homeless service providers' facilities would be off-site; it would not be provided at the Naval Training Center. And they agreed on this amount of $7.5 million to take their services off-site.
Okay, so what you're saying is this is a fairly interesting form of NIMBYism. In other words, we know that the redevelopment of the Naval Training Center generated a projected need for some number of homeless or low-income housing. And this was a means of doing it, kind of like fees in lieu of units on site.
That's a good example, yes.
Okay. Okay, because I needed to understand the connection.
Yes.
And it wasn't working for me. So
the reuse process,
obviously,
was
none of us, with the possible exception of council, was involved in those initial decisions back then.
Right, I understand, and it's my job to be here and help clarify all of those things.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm glad you did.
Thanks for letting me in.
Which, that's an allusion to the fact that she got on the elevator on the third floor, knowing that she's telling me that she wanted to ride up to the fifth floor, so I pushed five for her. I'm getting off at four because I've got the little card that will let me in. And as I'm getting off, another person on the elevator said, "Oh, I'm getting off here too." So Libby then figured out where we were going, and so now we're old friends. And thank you for being here this morning. Okay, yes.
My question is for the San Diego Youth Services Take Wing Transitional Housing, the $80,000 that will be saved. How much of that will be savings for the actual housing tenants, and if you have a number for maybe how much each tenant will save to go towards their utility savings, their transitional plan budget, sorry. I visited the site and spoke with Kevin Sweeney, who's the director of development, and he explained to me that the savings, the tenants kind of get a credit for their utilities currently, so the savings will go a portion of it into a pool for tenant use for a lot of the tenants have children, so potential activities like off-site activities. So the savings would be a portion allocated for tenant-directed activities and then also a savings to their overall operating cost for SDG&E. I don't have an exact amount at this time.
What's the age range of the young people who will be at the facility for the homeless youth?
Yes, some of them are.
Okay, so 18 they're 18 and above.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion? I believe Commissioner Tussin has a motion on the floor. Is that correct?
Second.
Okay. Commissioner Spoon has seconded that motion. The motion is to approve the proposal known as item 104 as presented by staff. Any additional discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, all three of you. Yeah. You can ride with me on the elevator anytime you want. Okay, item 105.
Good morning, Chair Grambling, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry, and Mr. Christensen. My name is Matthew Packard. I'm Vice President of Housing Innovations here at the Housing Commission. Item 105 is requesting three actions on the part of the Commission in order to allow us to award grants to transitional housing programs in FY15. I'm joined today by my very capable colleague, Melissa Peterman, who participated in the solicitation process and will administer the contracts if awarded. And she'll also provide the report.
Good morning. On April 11, 2014, the Housing Commission Board of Commissioners recommended that the Housing Authority should adopt the Commission's proposed FY 2015 budget. Included in this action are funds to support Housing Trust Fund activities. As part of its HTF oversight responsibilities, the Housing Commission is required by Section 980504 of the San Diego Municipal Code to expend at least 10% of each year's HTF program funds for transitional housing activities. The proposed funding sources and uses included in this action exceed that minimum and add $621,764 to the proposed FY 2015 budget based on increased housing impact fee collections. In follow-up, we are asking the Housing Commission to recommend the Housing Authority approve the revision to the proposed fiscal year 2015 Housing Commission budget to add $621,764 in housing impact fee revenues to the Transitional Housing for the Homeless budget for grants to nonprofit organizations operating transitional housing programs, and also to approve the award of 10 grants in an aggregate amount not to exceed $1,140,602 for FY 2015, and to authorize the President and CEO to execute all necessary documents related to the respective agreements, including execution of additional one-year renewal options for fiscal years 2016 and 2017 for each grant agreement contingent upon the availability of funding and program performance. As a result of this action, the proposed funding will support nonprofit transitional housing providers, which serve veterans, the chronically homeless, homeless youth, families, victims of domestic violence, the mentally ill, serial inebriates, and other single adults. An RFP from nonprofit organizations to operate transitional housing for the homeless was issued on January 15, 2014, announcing that approximately $500,000 was available for FY15 transitional housing operations. During the RFP process, 10 proposals were received, requesting a total of $1,013,868. All proposals were deemed responsive. After the RFP review process and based on increased housing impact fee collections reported through March 2014, additional Housing Trust Fund dollars totaling $621,764 were identified in April to support the Transitional Housing for the Homeless program. A proposal review committee was utilized to evaluate the applications according to criteria outlined in the RFP and to recommend a methodology for funding the applications. The committee was comprised of a cross-departmental and community member panel with program expertise. Applications were recommended for funding in order of rank, determined by the final score issued to each application by the committee. The top-ranked applicants would receive 100% of their budget requests, with the remaining balance of available funds partially funding the request of the applicant next in line according to score. With the additional funding identified, all 10 respondents are recommended to receive full funding. Designed to help maximize program outcomes, the Transitional Housing for the Homeless RFP also introduced new program elements. For example, grantees will be required to report on and meet designated outcomes related to client income, exits to permanent housing, and housing stability. High-performing programs may be eligible for performance incentive awards on a quarterly basis during the fiscal year. Execution of option years may be determined by project performance in the preceding year. If grantees do not achieve the stated outcomes, grant agreements may not be renewed and those funds may be reprogrammed. 9 of the 10 recommended proposals are for programs that received HTF funding from fiscal years 2012 through 2014. The recommended proposal that would be newly funded in FY15 is Veterans Village of San Diego's Welcome Home Program, a unique program in San Diego as it is the only one to exclusively serve veteran families. And that concludes our presentation. Take your questions if you have any.
Commissioner Tessa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was really happy to hear that you guys are going to establish reporting requirements. And this is a great list of organizations that are providing this much-needed service in our community. How do we know? Have you established criteria? How do we know if they've done a good job or not? Is it common criteria, or how do we know that?
So I'll ask Ms. Peterman to join in if she elects to. All the programs funded will be required to report monthly to us, both on their financial expenditures, but also their program outcomes. So we will be monitoring those and working with the organizations on an ongoing basis. And then, as Ms. Peterman indicated, provide incentives to those programs that are really exceeding or really achieving high outcomes. Those outcomes are very typical within homeless service programs. Placement in permanent housing and retention in permanent housing is one of the key factors in that. But then just housing stability, if an appropriate placement outside of transitional into inpatient recovery or another appropriate placement can be considered a success as well. So we'll be monitoring those on a monthly basis.
Thank you. I just encourage you to focus in on that criteria and keep it as tight as possible to ensure that we're getting the biggest bang for the dollar.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. For these programs that have received this funding in the past, this is a pretty significant difference. We weren't demanding and setting these expectations in the past, so this is kind of a part of a learning process as well, but we will stay on top of it.
There are, you don't have to invent the wheel yourselves. There are sources out there that can help you to develop the criteria to keep it as crisp as possible.
Absolutely. Mr. Gentry was commenting on our continued involvement within the continuum of care and HEARTH regulations, and those give us a lot of good indicators of what can be great outcomes that we can ask of our vendors.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes, in providing the overnight shelter, what are the services that are provided for those specific people there?
In these transitional housing programs, obviously they include a safe, clean place to stay, supervised 24 hours a day, meals, security staff on site. But in addition, for these programs, they mandated our supportive services, including case management, ongoing case management, and referrals to other services as needed by the individual if they're not located on site.
Mr. Gentry?
Just to further add, the revised method of analysis here reflects the continuing change in thought on how to deal with homelessness and homelessness services. And I think for years it was considered that transitional housing, a shelter, if you will, was in and of itself enough. And as Mr. Packard indicated, as reflected in some of the federal HEARTH legislation and local thought as well, with the housing first approach, which is the dominant thought now, that there's a need for transition or permanent supportive housing so we don't just keep recycling people in and out of shelters. So I think this is going to be an adjustment for some of the providers going forward. In some cases, it may be less than pleasant.
Your report says that this will support 660 beds. Over what period of time?
There will be annual agreements that can be renewed depending on outcomes and performance.
The reason I ask is because doing the simple math that I'm capable of, that comes out to about $1,730 per bed. That doesn't seem as if it would last for very long. So how did we come up with that?
This, go ahead, you want to respond? this doesn't necessarily represent the entire funding the organization has to operate that individual bed. This, in some cases, complements other funding.
So these are supportive funds to add to existing designations?
That's correct.
Okay. Commissioner Moraga?
Rick touched on it, but I think you touched on it a little bit too. So is this playing into our Homeless 2.0 plan?
Yes. I mean, the fact that we're not concerned or less concerned about outputs, typically we would fund a program because they provided so many beds or so many nights of shelter, an output, in other words. And now we are looking more at outcomes, what results as from the provision of that shelter. So that's very much in the spirit of Homeless 2.0.
Commissioner Spoon?
Matt, it's very difficult to track outcomes for the homeless population, as you know. So is there money allowed for the administrative overhead that all of these organizations will incur because of this requirement?
Pardon me? Yes, there's 25% that's allowed for administrative overhead.
Commissioner Moraga has moved approval of the proposal from staff. Is there a second?
Second.
Commissioner Tussin has seconded the motion. Any additional discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor of the proposal number 105, indicate by saying, 105, by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much. And Mr. Gentry looks as if he wants to say something. Oh, okay. Okay. The moment you move that microphone. Okay. Next, we're going to have a workshop and discussion. Item 107, the path to success. Looking forward to a great report here. Mr. Gentry.
This was the reason I moved the microphone quickly. Let me do about a two-minute intro here. As those members of the board who have been around for a while recall, we made some major changes to the way the Achievement Academy operates.
At first, I didn't even know how to do a resume, and I learned how to do a resume.
Could we turn that off for a second?
Great. We made some major changes in the way the Achievement Academy operates about 2 years ago, and the changes have been remarkable in the level of services provided to our residents. I think between Azucena and Stephanie, I'm going to try the last name, Azucena Vallelodi, and Stephanie Murphy, who's the new director of our Achievement Academy, there's been some remarkable improvements in both efficiency and effectiveness. I'm very pleased to provide this report to you all today. I know there's been some questions about this going back several months from the board, and I think today we're in a position to talk about what we've done to answer some of the same questions that came up with respect to homelessness a few minutes ago, and that is to address improvements and not just process. So with that, I'll turn it over to the two ladies. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry, and Council. I'm Azucena Valladolid, Vice President of the Rental Assistance Division. With me is Stephanie Murphy, Director of the Achievement Academy. In July of 2013, we implemented Path to Success, a rent reform initiative that streamlined the Housing Choice Voucher rent calculation and applies minimum rents. With this implementation, we identified the need to re-engineer the Achievement Academy to support Housing Choice Voucher and public housing participants to become self-reliant through primarily employment-related services at the Achievement Academy. With support from executive leadership, the direction of the Achievement Academy changed over the past year to focus on acting as a resource center for work readiness services and increasing earned income for our participants. A great deal of emphasis is placed on staying current with trends and establishing innovative partnerships and services to increase the opportunities for placing participants with employment. I am extremely proud of the accomplishments that Stephanie and her team have achieved over the past year at the Achievement Academy. And today she will be sharing some of those accomplishments with you. We have a brief video to share with you before Stephanie begins the presentation.
At first, I didn't even know how to do a resume, and I learned how to do a resume in this class.
I think for me, it's a great help because they give me more confidence, and it's something after my injury, I don't have.
We're actually working with a lot of the clients from San Diego Housing Commission to provide them some basic computer literacy skills. A lot of jobs are actually listed online, so being able to navigate to those different job sites and to look at what job requirements are online is going to be the first step of finding work.
I didn't even know the technology term words used for the internet, the programs like Google, Craigslist, Facebook, and now I know how to able to go on those programs.
When folks come to the Achievement Academy, a lot of the times they're working with case managers that they're assigned to, and that is working on hard skills that they might have, providing them with certain job leads, and how we come as a partner is we provide them with soft skill training, because as we know, if you're unemployed for quite some time, it does take a mental toll on you.
I mean, they helped me with so many different things that I remembered in the workshops. Some of the interview questions that were going to be kind of tricky, I would constantly continue to go over some notes that I would take at the workshop, so it all helped me at the end.
We've had some excellent success with employers that have actually come on site to the San Diego Housing Commission Achievement Academy. Some employers have been Home Depot, we've had Macy's, we've had a lot of staffing agencies that have come on site, County of San Diego, City of San Diego, UCSD, where they actually hire individuals that are here at the recruitment right on site that day.
What there is a demand for are medical assistants, medical billing and coding, healthcare IT. So these are the types of training that we funnel folks to. So we want to make sure that we're one up to date with all of the labor market information, and at the same time we're able to provide them with the training and certification that they need to move forward.
I came to one of the resume workshops that they had and revised my resume, and sure enough, I uploaded my new resume on my application online for one of the hospitals here in San Diego, and within a couple weeks, I got a phone call for another interview, and I went in, and I was hired within the next day.
Great, thank you. Good morning. I first want to thank Maria and her fantastic communications team for putting that video together. It's the second one we've had, and it's wonderful to showcase what we are able to do to our participants. So we're going to get started. I'm going to talk to you today about the Achievement Academy. So the Achievement Academy, we're a state-of-the-art facility, and we're actually located just downstairs on the first floor, and we provide services to Section 8 individuals, and the services that we provide are bundled services model. So we have employment placement and career improvement, financial education and coaching, and access to income supports. And what I'm going to talk about today, it's going to be a variety of the services that we provide: our work readiness, our access to training, financial education, our family self-sufficiency program, access to benefits, and our weekly employer recruitments. We have a variety of services, and as I mentioned, we do have weekly job recruitments that employers come on site and will recruit for their openings. It's kind of how to get hired, what tips and what kind of tricks. Since it is an online world today, it's great for them to be able to see the hiring managers face-to-face. We have employment recruitment fairs, which is more like a job fair, and we have benefits and services available at the resource fairs. Career development, if somebody comes to us and they want to be a certified nursing assistant, get a job as the CNA, and then decide they want to be a registered nurse, we work with them to get to the place where that they where they can become a registered nurse. Credit counseling, we help individuals who are having trouble with their credit reports or credit scores. It's more and more employers are looking at credit scores to see if they're going to hire an individual, so it's been helpful to work with that. We have some income supports. Occasionally we'll help people with bus passes. We also have access to benefits and services, food stamps. We have child care and health care. We have our computer lab. There's 30 terminals. We're open late, a couple nights during the month, so individuals that are employed that want to get a better job, they're underemployed and want to get a better job, they can come and use the services at our computer lab too. We have access to trainings. Manpower provides a training development center. It's an online training program where they can do Excel, Word. We also have referral to community partners and services. We work very closely with the San Diego Workforce Partnership, and they provide the funding for the Workforce Investment Act where people can get up to $5,000 to retrain. And if we have individuals that qualify for that, we do refer them over. We have our computer training, and you saw on the video, you saw some of the folks that took the computer training. We have a partnership with the San Diego Futures Foundation to provide computer training on site at the Achievement Academy, and we actually had participants that were requesting that, so it was something that we did based on interest, and it's been excellent. It's a three-day training program. There's a pretest and a post-test, so we're able to see that there was knowledge gained. And our next training program is going to be starting next week, and we already have a waiting list for that, so it's been excellent. We also have workshops that we provide. Our work readiness, we focus on hard and soft skills. Our hard skills are going to be resume writing and interviewing, and our soft skills are going to be dealing with difficult people or time management. Financial education, budgeting and credit reports, tenant rights and responsibilities is also a workshop we offer. I'm very lucky to have a supervisor that likes innovation. And recently we tried a new program to see if we could get more people interested in coming to the academy. We created a week-long training program that focused on an industry specific, and we chose hospitality. So it was a week-long training that talked to people about what you need to do to be an excellent, to provide excellent customer service in the hospitality field. We brought in somebody to provide a food handler's card, so they all trained in food handlers and received their food handler certificate. And at the end of the week, we had employers that came on site and talked about what they needed to do to get hired at the hotels they worked at. We had 16 individuals that attended, and so far 6 of those individuals have found employment. So who uses our services? We have over 1,000 people that walk through our doors each year down in the Achievement Academy. Out of those 1,000, we have 589, or almost 600 people, are enrolled in programs. We have 3 specialized programs that we provide through funding, and that's LISC is one of them, Local Initiative Support Corporation, United Way, and Family Self-Sufficiency. So those folks are enrolled in those programs. And out of the 589, 352, or 60%, are actually employed. And we continue to work with individuals after they do find employment. Our demographics, we have 57% are between the ages of 35 and 54, 75 are female, 22 male. And then we have the highest level of schooling someone's completed. 44 have some college or trade school, 26 have a high school diploma, and 22% lack high school diploma or GED. And we're seeing more and more folks that fall into this category that we're serving. The current unemployment rate is 6.9% for San Diego, and that means it's still an employer's market, and we are still struggling to get people employed in jobs because it is employers can choose somebody with a high school diploma now instead of choosing somebody that doesn't even have a GED. And 59% are below the federal poverty line. I have a fantastic team, and I have 6 workforce readiness specialists that provide the one-on-one counseling to the individuals we work with. The average caseload is 98 individuals that they're serving. And each one of my workforce readiness specialists has a program of specialty that they also juggle with their job. So we have a hardship specialist, workshop services, the one that creates new curriculum and programs, internal training programs, employer services, external training providers, and financial literacy. I have very high standards, and I don't think anything really exists unless there's a number attached to it. So I track the services and placements every single month, and we have a scorecard that we keep for each one of our workforce readiness specialists to make sure that we're doing what we need to do. We also have two on-site partners, Manpower and Springboard, that provide services. This is a list of the on-site employer recruitments that we've had this past year. And you'll see the variety of employers that come on site. And this is growing. Since January 2013 to May 2014, we've had 193 people have been placed in 234 jobs. Most of the positions that people are looking for are entry level. And so we do try to make sure that we bring in entry level companies that have entry level positions so that, people are comfortable to come to the recruitments. The employers are interviewing on site. Just last week, we had Sodexo that came. They asked us to do the pre-screening. We had seven individuals that we felt qualified for the position that Sodexo was offering. They're a temporary agency that they place people at Sharp Hospital in the cashier, in a cashier position. And out of the seven, they actually hired five on the spot. So that was an excellent success, and they've asked if they could come by quarterly and do the same thing. So we're really pleased with that. The reason we revamped the Achievement Academy really was due to the Path to Success program, and that went into effect last July, and it streamlined the Housing Choice Voucher rent calculation and applied minimum rents to help families become more self-reliant. And as the Achievement Academy, we really worked on acting as a resource for work readiness services, assisting families to increase their earned income and financial literacy to provide services that if individuals were still struggling once they found a job on their with budgeting, we did still help them to make sure they were okay. Out of the number of people that we've seen for Path to Success, we've had 111 of them placed in jobs since July 1st, and that's just in 9 months. And keep in mind that this is a group of people that probably they're long-term unemployed or might have never had a job before. So finding their first job, it's a struggle. It's difficult. We all have been there. So we're really pleased with 111 individuals finding employment. Our family self-sufficiency program just recently got vamped too. And the new program we implemented this last July. It's a 2-year program. It requires a career plan. You must obtain a job and be working at least 32 hours a week. You also are required to be off of TANF or temporary assistance for needy families for 6 months to graduate from the program. You're able to earn up to $10,000 in an interest-bearing escrow account. That's tax-free. You can use the money any way you want. And the increase in income goes into account rather than towards rent. There's financial benchmarks, so people can earn money to go into their escrow account by obtaining their GED, finding a job, or retaining their job for 6 months or a year. We have 284 individuals in the program, in the FSS program. 208 are in our traditional program, and 76 are on our new program. And I hope to increase that to 200 within the next year. We couldn't do what we do downstairs without our partners, and this is just a list of some of the partners that we work with very closely in the Achievement Academy. Career centers are instrumental in providing extra services. You saw Maxine Suka. She was listed on there. She works at the Career Center and really helps our folks. Employment Development Department, just last fall, there was a crisis with the unemployment benefits where over 100,000 individuals stopped receiving their checks, and we were able to work very closely with them for the families that were affected down in the academy. San Ysidro Healthcare Center, they provide medical and dental services, so if somebody has some issues, we send them right on over. And Mental Health Systems also provides excellent services for our folks. So when I first started, I'll tell you, success to me meant somebody getting a full-time 40-hour job making lots of money. And without that, I didn't think it was as successful. Part-time work, we needed to get somebody in full-time. And I've really changed my view of success in the last year and a half that I've been here, because it's baby steps. It's watching somebody take those steps, because just writing their first resume, that's a huge step for somebody who's never done that before, never looked for work. Somebody becoming a volunteer, that sometimes that's the first step for somebody to find employment. We had one gentleman that was working for 2 years as a volunteer while he was looking for work. And his workforce readiness specialist said, "Have you asked the agency you volunteer at to see if they have any openings?" And he talked to them, and they said, "You're so valuable, of course we'll pay you." And now they've written him into grants. So sometimes it just takes giving the person the idea of what they can do. So here's a list of some of the ways that we've seen success and that we congratulate each one of the individuals each day. So what's next? This is my favorite part of the presentation, because I can talk about what we plan to do in the future. We are looking to put in a virtual counseling network within the next month or two. And I don't know if anyone knows Vino down at the Housing Opportunity Collaborative. He has created a fantastic virtual counseling network where you're able to, instead of going over to the location to receive services, you can do it directly virtually on a computer. So we're going to have access to that. And so if somebody says, "I need assistance with food stamps," we can walk over to the virtual counseling network computer, have them sit down, and there's going to be a webcam. They can talk directly to somebody. We can forward over all their paperwork so they don't have to double entry all of their information, and it's going to increase efficiencies. So we're looking forward to having that, and we hope to actually one day have employers use that service for interviews. So instead of individuals having to go in for their first interview, they can actually do it over the virtual counseling network. So our next area is multi-generational services and improving educational success for our youth. And Jeff Davis actually just mentioned that, Commissioner Davis, you have an interest in this, and so do we. This is an area that we found to be extremely valuable downstairs. We want to create programs for everyone in the household. We don't want to just say, "Oh, you're an adult, you can come in." We want grandparents, we want parents, we want kids. So we want everyone to be involved in the Achievement Academy, because that's where we're going to see everybody succeed. That's where we're going to see the change. Our strategic plan in the next 2 years, we are definitely trying to increase awareness internally with our staff on the services that we're providing in the Achievement Academy. And just recently, May 1st, we started a tracking system, and we're trying to refer more individuals down to the Achievement Academy when they qualify for services. So we should have some good numbers from that in the future. And last but not least, we really need to increase the number of people we serve. I'd love to double it. I'd love to say the next time I sat up here, I'd love to say we have 2,000 people walking through the door every year. So that's our goal, is to provide services that will make people want to walk through the door, and once they get in, to have them stay and succeed and keep using our services throughout the year. I'd love to schedule a tour for anyone who's interested in the future to come down and see firsthand what we do down in the academy. Any questions?
Commissioner Tussin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to applaud you. This is you guys have really brought this program a long way, and it's encouraging to see what you're doing. And I note that you have some pretty significant goals of what you want to achieve. One thing that you may want to consider is this is kind of the SCORE model, which is the business organization that takes retired executives and brings them in to help businesses that are starting up. Is maybe present opportunities to companies in town to provide volunteer opportunities to help you. If you get to the point where you're going to have a couple thousand people walking through the door, you're not going to be able to do it all yourself. There's a lot of great companies out there that encourage their employees to get involved and give back to the community. You ought to be thinking about presenting those opportunities out there and getting some very talented people to help you with what you're doing.
That's an excellent idea. We have talked about setting up a mentoring program. I think that's great.
Commissioner Davis.
I was curious, in your workshops, in your training, especially for people that have either been out of the workforce or who are new to it for one reason or another, do you have a workshop for work ethics and etiquette, like so they won't be so awkward when they're getting into a business atmosphere?
We do. That's part of our soft skill training. We absolutely do. And we try to have a very professional level, too, downstairs, so that if we see somebody doing something, that might not be something that would be allowable in business. So we absolutely do, and we're expanding our soft stove programs because of that. Getting back into the workforce is really difficult for folks.
Commissioner Moraga?
I'd just like to echo Commissioner Tassin's applause for you guys. Over the years, it's just been tremendous growth, and the tracking and the improvements has been incredible. So good luck, continued growth, and hopefully we do double those numbers. So it'd be great.
Yes, you guys are a pet project of mine. I have been anxious to and encouraging the growth and the continued expansion of this operation almost from the time I got here. So I'm really happy to see the new things that you're doing and the increased successes that you're doing. One of the things, and I'm excited about the idea of bringing in the entire family, the multi-generational, that fits into something that I was discussing with Mr. Gentry just 2 days ago, and that is an idea that was rattling around in the conference that we went to at Burlingame this past weekend. And that is working to create means of increasing the reading comprehension of our children that are in the program. And so I want to see good efforts and find ways that maybe we can innovate in that area as well. So, but thank you very much for this presentation. And maybe we'll set up a guided tour. Mr. Gentry.
I think the principle is sometimes personnel our policy. And I think if you look at the two ladies sitting in front of us, Asuzane has been with us since late 2011, early 2012, and Stephanie's since the mid-2012. And if you look at the improvements downstairs, not only to effectiveness, but also efficiency, it's as remarkable as anything I've seen in the 6 years I've been here. So it's a result of some great work by some great staff and some great leadership here, too.
Well, thank you very much. Any closing remarks, or have you already made your closing remarks?
I did provide a list of all the places that individuals have been placed in the last year, so you guys can look and see
right.
What they're making and part-time, full-time, the positions. That's it.
Yeah. Thank you again.
Thank you.
All right. That's the last item on our agenda. I believe, unless council wants to change my mind, I believe we can adjourn. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for your attendance. And those who were presenting, thank you very much for your presentations.